much. Oh, that's all. That's all. So I should not delay you longer. That is why. In few words, man is the highest in all creation. And the highest aim that is before us in the man body, as given out by all masters who came in the past, is to know God. To know God, we must know ourselves first. God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, nor intellect, nor vital ears. It is the soul alone that can know God. But our soul is under the control of mind, and mind is under the control of outgoing faculties. Our attention, which is the expression of our soul, is diffused into the world through the outgoing faculties and identified with them so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. As I told you, it is the soul alone that can know God. Like knows the like. Soul is conscious entity. God is all consciousness. The first thing is that we should know ourselves. All masters, whenever they came, they gave out the same thing, know thyself. How can we know ourselves? By liberating ourselves from the clutches of mind and outgoing faculties. Or you might say, by analyzing yourself from mind and matter. Or still further, you might say, to rise above body consciousness. When you know, you'll see that very God whom you find is already there. Man body, the wonderful house we live in. We are living in this man body, and we are also controlled in the man body on account of some higher power overhead. Otherwise, we could run away out of this man body. There are so many apertures in this wonderful house we live in. But we are controlled, we cannot go out. Breathing goes out. Some power cannot remain outside. Some power is bringing it back into the body. So that power which controls us in the body, that very power controls all universe. That is what is called God power. Or by so many names given by various masters, by different names. God wordless or nameless, when it came into being, that was called name, shabda or word. That God into expression power is the cause of all creation. So you reside in this very man body, and also whom you are after, for which purpose you have joined various schools of thought or religions, he also resides within you. Kingdom of God is within you. If you would like to find or enter in there, you'll have to enter in the laboratory of your man body. You may be seeking outside for years and years. You may be observing so many rites and rituals which are performed at the level of the outgoing faculties. You cannot find a clue of that. So all Guru Nanak says, so long as you do not know yourself, you are in a grand delusion. So it is a pity. We are the indweller of the man body. That very power which we have to find is also already there. A fish living in the water inquires where water is. In the scriptures you'll find a description of the findings the masters had in their lives when they come in contact with that God power. There only a description is given by reading which that can flare up an interest in you to know him, to have those very experiences what the masters had in their lives and are recorded in the scriptures. There the scope and what the scriptures say, God is within you. Body is the temple of God. All masters say that. In their own words, of course. So, if the God is within you, you must try to find him where he is. If you try to find him in the outer things, outer places, you cannot find him. We have regard for all scriptures, for they give beautiful, fine records of the experiences what the masters had in their life. We have respect for all places of holy worship for the reason they are made out of models out of the man body. Dome shaped all Hindu temples like head of the Hindu body. Cross shaped and nose shaped all churches within the symbols representing God. God is light. God is music of the spheres. So these are two symbols kept in those to show the such like light of God is shining within you. The such like music of the spheres and the voice of God is reverberating within you. That can be you can have contact with those and you rise above senses, above body consciousness. So it is a matter of practical self-analysis. How to rise above body consciousness? You can rise above of your own efforts, you are welcome. If not, you can seek the help of somebody who goes up and has the competency to raise your soul, liberate your soul from the clutches of mind and outgoing faculties, and is able to give you an experience of opening the inner eye to see the light of God and opening the inner ears to hear the voice of God. Call him by any name you like. He is a man like you by outward appearance, but inside he has dwelt that way. He has analyzed his soul from mind and outgoing faculties. He rises above body consciousness daily. That was what was meant by what the scriptures say, learn to die so that you may begin to live. That is what is meant by when St. Paul said, I die daily. So this is what is meant by to be born anew. This is what is meant when it is said, Kingdom of God cannot be had by observation. It is within you. In the outworldly subjects, we do need the help of somebody who is expert in that way. All these subjects have to do with the outgoing faculties. If you need there somebody to guide you, help you, why not in a case, in a subject which starts when you rise above body, all outgoing faculties? It's a matter of common sense. If you can, well and good. A blind man needs two eyes to see. So we need somebody. Son knows the father and others whom the son reveals. And that sonship continues. So this is what is before us. For that purpose we have joined various schools of thought. And you'll find who can withdraw from outside. Who is not attached outside, very clearly. Who is attached outside, given up to outer pleasures, and live the sensuous way of living, such a man is not fit. Two things, there are five senses, are the outgoing faculties, but two of them are most dangerous. The first is lust. The second is anger. All are dangerous, but these are the most dangerous. And even within these two, the first is most dangerous. Kabir says, I will forgive all sins, but not who are given up to unchaste life. These are his words. So naturally, your question will arise, what to speak of those who are married? Well, all scriptures tell us what does marriage mean. Marriage means taking a companion in life to be with you in weal or woe, in this earthly sojourn, and help each other to know God. That's the highest aim before us. And one duty may be of begetting children. Not 100%. Such a marriage you will also find Christ gave out. Husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. They should have chaste life. One duty, as I told you, is begetting children. When you got one or two children, all right, you set your example and make their life sublime. So first thing you see, it is called a life of continence. Life, having a life of continence, is called by the rishis to observe brahmacharya. So brahmacharya means control of all the organs of sense. It does not mean mere control of animal passions. If a man controls only one organ and allows all the others to have free play, is bound to find his effort fruitless. To hear suggestive stories with the ears, to see suggestive sights with your eyes, to taste stimulating food with your tongue, to touch exciting things with hands, etc., and then expect to control the only remaining organ. It is just like putting a hand in fire and expecting that it shouldn't burn. So you'll find perhaps palate is the chief of all. So brahmacharya means, charya word means the course of conduct, and brahm means God. So brahmacharya means to have such a conduct of life adapted to such for God. So it is therefore the control of all the senses, and it will become easy to anyone who controls his passions, his palate. Diet has to do very much about our lives. Whatever sort of food you have, that very affect your God. If a dog is kept on mere vegetables, that is very amiable. If you keep it on meat, etc., he's growling. Any diet which goes to flare of passions, we have to eliminate. You see? So for that purpose you'll find in both this diet flares up, I tell you. Maulana Rum says, well, it is not the love which arises out of eating bread, etc., but it is the love of the soul, charity. The love attached with the physical body, you see, is called lust. So for that reason, you see, you'll find animals observe brahmacharya more than men. Any animal, you see, when he goes sick, he does not eat. First thing, there is time for their mixing up, and man has no time. It is a pitiable state, I would say. So that is why we are born not to eat, but eating is made for us, so that the body may be maintained. This is a golden opportunity that we have got. Maintain it, keep it as long as you can. What for? Not for eating, but eating for you to maintain it, so that you may know God. Similarly, all other organs are required to be controlled. So all masters have made great stress on that very thing. So these are the two things specially. What is all that, you see? All these five senses practically mean the same thing. And they hinge on only desire. So to be desireless is to exterminate the very root of other things. So many masters have come to say that Buddha said, be desireless. Then Guru also said in his own language, be desire, kamna vahin. When you got no desire, there's no question of anger. What is anger? When you want to do something or have something, somebody appears to be standing in the way, directly or indirectly, that very impediment in the achievement of your desire is called anger. You see? When there is anger, you see what happens? You kind of speak slowly. Take the example of one little rivulet or ordinary canal, you might say, going down with the narrow channel. When it is there no impediment in the way, that goes on smooth. You can put a big stone in it, the water retards, strikes against the stone, and two things happen. One, froth and foam by striking. And the other, there's nice. So even those men who become angry, they kind of speak slowly, and there's foam in their mouth. Then, when they then touch, oh, I must have it. There's no reason why I should not have it. He puts in all efforts in having it. He makes parties, this and that. When he achieves it, he does not want to leave it. He's attached. This is called attachment. And then he enjoys. So, all five senses hinge on the one thing, desire. Out of these, as I told you, two are the most important and the strongest ones controlled in the body. So all masters have been telling like that. So whenever you go to the everybody, you see, they say, just it is life. Here we lack very much, you see. And sexuality is death. Those who are not married, they should observe strict chastity. Those who are married, they should regulate their life according to what the scriptures say. And what the scriptures say, I've just laid out before you. So in Mohammedans, almost every scripture, they say the same thing. So the abandonment of sensual desires draws the soul towards heaven. The more you control this, the more you are nearer to God. Because on this very power depends the health of mind and body both. Your intellect, your brain, your physical body. And further, if this thing is developed very wonderfully, comes to bones, from bones the pith in it, and from the pith these things form. How valuable thing it is. As I told you, animals have observed more celibacy than men. They have no time whatsoever. So all masters live any unchaste look, thought, or act, in all profanity of speech is declared to be unpardonable. We don't pay attention to these things. A perfect man must be pure in every word and in every action in his own life. The Holy Spirit comes to him from the day one becomes pure. You know how, what is he? Utmost necessity of being pure in thought. That is why Christ said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall be pure. Not others. And further, you find in Christ's authority that said that dogs are better than them. So all masters have been laying possession of the Shankaracharya. Amongst the Hindu legends, you say, when a man follows the way of the body, the true wisdom is not born in within him. When you are tied to the sensuous way of living, where is the divinity? Similarly, lust and temptations are like the sharks in the river of life. Sharks, they eat up the man. Kabir says, lust and anger, they just eat away the body, just like, you see, when you put some, what is called, God knows what is called this side, if you put on that, the gold is melted. So on these, you see, as the dawning of the yoga, which he says, as the dawning of the day is simultaneously with the crossing of the mind, passing of the night, so the dawning of true knowledge follows simultaneously with the dawn of, you see, control of the self. You see how important it is and how we have let loose these things. So all masters, whether they came in one religion or the other, they have been very, particular about this part. And nowadays, how dangerous it is, you see. Young men, women, I don't know whether you take it ill or not. I don't think I'm telling you the having a pity on the state of affairs that we are having nowadays. They are let loose, going like anything, wild animals. Running here, there, it doesn't mean marriage is a sacrament, I don't know. It is not a contract. As I told you, Christ said, yes, husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. This is the main thing, you see. Who is affected with passions cannot obtain liberation. This is what Shankaracharya said. Not one, each. Religion says so. We belong to one religion or the other, but we don't follow the teachings. So fascination by the body is a great death for him who is seeking liberation. I'm quoting you these things from the scripture. These are not my words. To whosoever, whichever religion you belong, well, it is there. Chinese philosophy tells us to be guileless and pure, this is the way to nourish the spirit. When lust and desires are deep, the springs of the heavenly are shallow. What more you want to tell? What we are doing? These very things are given great stress, but we people don't care. That's the pity. Buddha said, I proclaim the annihilation of dust. I teach the doing away with lust. Nirvana means the subsiding of all human passions. When inner fires of lust are extinguished, then one enters into the Nirvana. This is the lesson of lessons. Whatever cut down, you see. This is the most important thing and the most ignored. I tell you, when we were quite young, our brothers and sisters were born, we used to ask out of curiosity where from this have come. And we were told that the midwife has left it here. So innocent lives we had. Our parents had so chaste lives. Children did not know how the children, where from they come. And now small boy knows. Why? He sees you. How can you expect that to happen? So this is the subject which is most important and the mostly ignored. So this is one thing. With this, everything follows. May I quote you history? Napoleon, whose name dreaded the whole of Europe, when he was caught in the Waterloo, you see, history shows he fallen down in the night before. Indian history shows, pretty large. Invaders came, he repulsed them. But the day he fall in this way, next day he will come. Your own experience will show, when you go in for that, the following day you are not happy. Your spirits are down. Your eyes are sunken. Eh? Excuse me, I have just taken up this subject. Some friend of mine was asking about it this day, that there had been one article issued in the papers on this very subject. They are recommending all these things, whereas these are deadly against the higher principles of spirituality. So as I told you, control of organs of sense is the first thing, a life of continence. You see, this lust avails, assails us. How? Through eyes. You want to save yourself, don't look into the eyes of others. Anger is flared up to the ears. You see? How to control it? Well, leave that place. The more you have, the more anger is flared up, you see? And you won't talk slowly. You go on talking like anything loudly, and what will be the result? There will be foam in your mouth, you see? And you cannot see. So attachment comes through skin. They've got centers in the body. When you just, you're attached to any to your son, daughter, everything, you hug your skin. You see? These are centers in the body. So man body, you see, the highest in all creation, we have it. Simply, if we withdraw, how to control, you see, best way. Just control your attention, withdraw it from outside, bring it up to the seat of the soul, which is at the back of the eyes. That's the way of it. When you have full control, this can be had by regular practice, I would say. Practice makes a man. You use your eyes up and you may not see. With your ears on, you may not hear. When your attention is controlled, so I tell you, Prophet Muhammad, he says two things. If you control two organs, one which is between the two lips and the other which is within the two thighs, he says, I am responsible for your liberation at the court of God. Tulsidas says the same thing. If you are truthful, humble, humility, and chaste, considers others as mothers, sisters, and daughters, except your wife. That also for wives, they are not a machine of mind. That, excuse me, I am a bit very clear to that. They are not for that purpose, that is only one duty, not under. He says, I am responsible at the court of God. Kabir says, I will forgive all sins, not who is left. We have got no destiny left anywhere. So these are the basic things we flare up. Others follow. So to achieve God is just to have pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. You're always thinking, mind that. Simply sit down and hear what others say. Either they're speaking of the dirty things, excuse me, or animosity, while that, what is this, any thought, I tell you, any intention that is considered somebody is retarded, proving impediment in the way that turns into anger. So we must have life of contentment. This is what is necessary for all masters. So all scriptures tell us to love God, love all humanity. God resides in every heart. So for that, ethical life is stepping stone to spirituality. These are the two main things. Others also there are, but these are two main things. Here we are. Very made down. It is the tongue, you see. You have no control for eating or saying anything, you see. Think twice before you talk. What will this word I am uttering, will this carry effect? If there is any controversy, quietly follow what he says. You're in anger, mind that. Never say anything. Keep quiet. Do the other thing, what you say. These are the ways to just save yourself from these. But the highest aim, this is one thing. If your love for God and God resides in every heart, we are of the same essence as that of God, then naturally we'll have love for all. No hatred. When you love everybody else, you won't harm him. You won't usurp his rights. You won't tell lies. You see? All things follow. So love, God is love, and love is the way back to God. And for that is necessity, you must have a life of continence. So this is, I think, the last Raga can give. I've been referring to these things in my talks and just enjoining on you to maintain your diaries. Perhaps you were thinking these things were taught for somebody else. This is the stony ground on which you can raise your building of spirituality. Otherwise, you're raising your buildings on sand. I think the best I knew, I found that I have given you. Man's highest aim is to know God, and whatever there are retarding factors, we should eliminate. What are helping factors, we should adapt in your life. So who has God, whoever God, to solve the mystery of life? Naturally, that is the greatest day in his life. But this question cannot be stamped out, must find solution sooner or later. There is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Where fire burns, oxygen comes to hell. Demand and supply is law of nature. God sees my child is after me. He makes some arrangement to bring you in contact. Who has known himself and knows God, sees God as I see you, you see me. And he gives you how to control these outgoing faculties. All outgoing faculties can stand still if you control your attention. So that is what the masters always give. Sutya, that way of the attention, controlling your attention. They give you an experience how to analyze yourself, how to rise above body consciousness, how to be reborn. Except you be reborn, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So it's a matter of pure self-analysis. Blessed you are. In the grace of God who have been put on the way. Christ said to his disciples, blessed are ye who see things what the old prophets and righteous could not see. Blessed are ye. You hear things what the old prophets and righteous could not hear. So you could see, you can hear. Is it not a great blessing of God? Now go on further, you see. Just have self-introspection of your life, like a strict judge, like a hard-taught master. Don't spare yourself. And go on with your meditation. Weed out all imperfections, send your diaries at regular intervals. And love for all, love God, love resides in every heart. Those who do not love cannot know God. With these things, I think the best of things, few words which I could give you, and the last day I'm physically leaving you tomorrow, so please keep it in your heart, live up to them. The more you live, you'll feel blessedness within you. Remain in any religion you like. Religions are our schools of thought to know God. Yes, of course. But getting 11, 10. What's the time? Oh, my God. That's it. Anyhow, all right, I thank you all for all the cooperation, you see, and help extended by you, not in words, but in thoughts and deeds, you see. And you have been helping the call of God. In other words, you will be helping your own selves and helping me too. My wishes are always with you, that God's power is with you, can never leave you. We'll be extending all feasible health and protection. I'm glad to hear from you about your spiritual progress at regular intervals, say quarterly. Give your brief what you want. Long johns won't do. Suppose you write a letter of 8 pages, sometimes people write 10 pages, 12 pages. So what I do, though the small letters reply the first. So long letters I keep it over for later. That's that I have to do. So write short, to the point, what you want. That power within you, that will compensate you. Say it out. How you feel, what is your, any difficulty, you see, in your meditation. Your diary shows everything. If there is anything special, you can put it. That will help, you see. You are so, and I think I can attend more. Correspondence is increasing, I know. By leaps and bounds, because men are going more. And I wish each one of you to remain in contact, attend your group meetings. You see, those who are there have love and respect for them, love one another. For the sake of God and the God in us. So I wish you all, you see, best of my wish and love. Tomorrow I will leave at about, I think, 10, 11? 11 o'clock?
11 o'clock, I will leave. Now we want about 10 people who could help us upstairs to repair the whole thing. So I thank the great master for his generous and kind help. And he had been a source of great blessing which will last for at least a couple of years. Even he goes away, he has left so much.
That won't be large if you simply turn your face to that. That is all this life. He remain in contact. God will help you.
So he'll be coming back again if all goes
God.
Well.
Well, it is all in the hands of God, you see.
Pastor, we'd like to thank you for Miss Connor and Margaret Blue.
Yes.
And Helen McDaniel.
Yes,
yes. And all those who started that thing.
Oh, yes. Do you know how much love I have for them?
And to have this wonderful experience with you, if it hadn't been Zion, we wouldn't be here.
You see, if
so
that, if you people have got any anger, send to me. really don't throw it here. Anything which is not good, to throw it in the waste paper basket. Take it to me, send it on to me. Love one another, that helps you, you see. To have a cordial, friendly, when you see each other, when two disciples meet, like intoxication, it comes up with the sweet remembrance of God and the Master. I'm very glad, you see. Amo, do you love me? Even the other, McDaniel, where I have not seen, where is he? McDaniel.
No, where is
McDaniel? Yes. Just convey my love to her. She might be engaged in something unavoidable. If you can find time, I'll be too glad to see him. Otherwise, convey my love to her. She's our old mate.
I feel I should agree with if she'd come tonight, but really she shouldn't come across.
All this, nothing we should forgive and forget. No little daily dying should be set aside. This is all I think that will as my prayer. I wish, well, what is to be decided? Maybe, you see, she might have got some object work. So convey my life and tell her if anybody near me. Is there any telephone? A telephone?
No. Yes, she has a telephone.
Yes, I can phone her. You know the number?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, all your I cannot, you see, how all are on the same way and how a father can leave his children anybody. Yes. All right. Thank you so much.